Has one NFC North receiver finally turned the corner on his tricky soft tissue injuries? Who is this guy the Chiefs just signed to their backfield? And is there suddenly a fight for the number one wide receiver off the board in the 2024 NFL draft? Plus, 52-time FFPC Dynasty Fantasy Football League champion Dale Brendel is going to stop by for conversations on Marquise Brown, Keenan Allen, and so much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than me.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, Rob. Greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, presented by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. That is myffpc.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. I'll bring in my co-host, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott, in just a second. Big announcement from the FFPC this week. I believe on Wednesday we announced it, that Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC. What's an Empire League? Well, it's a dynasty league with a twist. Basically, 50% of the annual prizes will go into the league's Empire pot. The team in this dynasty league that wins 2 years in a row will not only win that year's dues, but they will win the entire Empire pot as well. The league disbands after that, and the great part about that is if you stick around in that league until the end, you'll get your deposit back as well. So it is a win-win-win, as Michael Scott would say. We announced those on Wednesday. I think we filled our first Empire League about an hour later, and I think we filled like seven or eight Empire Leagues since then. So get in on the phone at myffpc.com. We got Dynasty Orphan teams over there as well, some as low as $1. We got some great deals available. If you want to play Dynasty, check that out at myffpc.com. And don't forget about the 2024 Fantasy Pros Championship. That's live. You can start playing for $1 million grand prize right now over at myffpc.com. And we have, about 28 days, about 4 weeks. Yeah, a little bit less than 4 weeks left to register and play in the Never Too Early FFPC Best Ball Tournament, as well as the Never Too Early FFPC Superflex Best Ball Tournament. Those will close prior to the start of the NFL draft. That's going on over at myffpc.com. 30-second, 60-second, 2-hour, and 6-hour clocks available there. And you win a $25,000 grand prize. What's not to like about that? $125 to enter that tournament. And then if you want to enter the Superflex, it's a $10,000 grand prize at just $35. MyFFPC.com, MyFFPC.com. Let's bring them aboard right now. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on it, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified every time we go live, like right now. Please welcome in the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Farrell, a happy March 29th to you. My goodness, NFL draft less than a month away, man.
But it's knocking on the door, isn't it?
It is, and I know you're going hard right now. I was thinking about this. Who was I talking to about this the other day? We could see, I think it was Matt Donnelly from Dynasty.
Somebody that didn't know as much about it as you do.
No, that's true at all.
That's who you were talking to.
I brought this up with him in the top 10 picks of the NFL draft. We could see four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, and potentially a tight end. That's eight skill position players in the first 10 picks of the draft. Superflex players' heads are exploding right now, Farrell, because it has been a long time. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to remember a first round that we could see, at least the first top 10 picks that we could see come Thursday night in Detroit that has the star power for fantasy that we might see then.
I'm confident that most of our Superflex players' heads exploded several years ago, but that's the Superflex kind of holds them together. The quarterbacks have proven themselves. It's a good year for quarterbacks, and the teams at the top are needy for them, and they're all made a legitimate case for those players to be part of it. And you know what May did at his pro day threw the ball 72 times, impressed everyone that was there. Yeah, it's been a good spring for offensive players, which should, you know, and I have to tell you, I am now part of the Empire. I am so glad to be on the Empire during week one. And it's many, many ways to engage in fantasy football at the FFPC. And, you know, it's just a great time of the year, Balky.
Great time of the year for sure. And this is a great time of the year for all those people that have Christian Watson in their dynasty leagues, because mm-hmm. they know when Sunday rolls around, Easter Sunday, they don't have to worry about Christian Watson starting or sitting him because it's in the off season. This is something that they've had to have a hard choice about, whether to start him or sit him because of all these soft tissue injuries that he's had. Yeah. Now, earlier today, Adam Levitan from NBC Sports and RotoWorld had this nugget that Matt LaFleur said Christian Watson worked with a, quote, special lab to address his hamstring injuries. I do believe this lab is located in Madison, Wisconsin, where they have a lot of complex devices and machinery and different things that they can go and utilize to try to figure out the root of all these soft tissue injuries with Christian Watson. Now, he missed 8 games and parts of other games in 2023 due to this. We know that Watson has spent tens of thousands of dollars of his own money over the course of the last couple of years to try to figure out what's going on. Christian Watson's dad, who is very outspoken on X, actually said that, quote, collaborating specialists found the source of all these injuries and a proper plan would be put into place over the course of this offseason. Watson last year, 422 yards, 5 touchdowns in 9 games. He's been very good when he's been healthy. Yes. The issue is, while he is out, Jaden Reed looked really good. Dontavian Wicks looked really good. Romeo Doubs, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. Now they got Josh Jacobs there as well. So the question is, Farrell, how do you feel about Christian Watson heading into the season? Is he a nice buy because you're believing that they figured this out? Or are you still a little bit skeptical whether Watson has is going to remain on the field, at least for the better part of 17 games in 2024?
I take my risk in the best ball and draft him at his value in what's our event called, Balky? The $300 teams. The
Fantasy Pros Championship.
Fantasy Pros Championship. Yep. Okay. Boy, I'd like to win that, and then I could remember what it is. Fantasy Pros Championship. I've had 4 teams, and I've yet to draft him because I don't want to struggle with it on Sundays. But, man, I love watching him play, and that's why I want to have him on my best ball teams. And I will sacrifice that spot for the weeks he is not available. And have a glorious score on the weeks he is. Because I believe in the player and I believe in the team. And, Balky, while you were going through that, you gave a tell. You listed the tight ends in the order of your affection at Green Bay, which I've always accused, and rightfully so, that you have thrown Musgrave to the bench.
You know what's funny is maybe it is a subconscious thing with me, mm-hmm. because I do believe Kraft is – as it stands right now, it just seems like they utilize him more as an over-the-middle type threat, whereas mm-hmm. Luke Musgrave is the field stretcher. He's the guy down the seam. So he's probably the more explosive player. He's not probably. He is the more explosive player out of the two. But for fantasy, man, Tucker Kraft, when Musgrave's been dinged up, Tucker Kraft has been right around a fringe top 10 tight end. So I do like him quite a bit.
Well, I defer to you based on geography, knowledge, and overall skill.
Okay. Well, thank you, Farrell. I appreciate that. This requires no overall skill in trying to ascertain what's going on in Kansas City, the Kansas City backfield specifically, Farrell. I don't know a whole lot about this. I do know my Packers were interested in Louis Riez-Zamit or Louis Riez-Zamit. Am I pronouncing this name right?
Yeah, Farrell? Yeah. You're in the ballpark, which is all you need. Ballpark.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Well, apparently he is a rugby star. He worked out or at least had interest in from probably about a half dozen teams in the mm-hmm. NFL. The Chiefs went out and signed him. No, not to a 1-year deal. They inked him to a 3-year contract with some guaranteed money and a signing bonus. Now, he's 23 years old. He spent about 2.5 months at IMG Academy, ran a 4.43 40-yard dash. Adam Teicher covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN.com, said they're going to look at this guy as a running back and perhaps – a wide receiver, but immediately it's probably going to be special teams and as a return specialist because of the new kickoff format that we have in the NFL. I know I'm fishing a little bit in deeper waters here, but Reese Zamet, is this a guy that you would look at as a late round pick in any FFPC best ball tournaments right now? Or are you turning a blind eye to him?
Well, absolutely not, Balky. But it's interesting you bring it up. This is a product of the NFL's pathway program. And there have been players that have made it and contributed. There's 37 guys that have signed. Five players have actually played in league games, most notably the big tackle over at Philadelphia, Jordan Maluta, the Australian. Yep. And the German player that made the Raiders and played fullback, I think he's a free agent now, Jacob Johnson, was pretty good player. These teams, I think eight teams each year can add a pathway player. If the NFL was very serious about this, they would give a roster exemption to one European player or one international player a year on a roster, and they don't do that. These guys have to come in here and compete with college players, and they, you know, it is intriguing for a championship team like the Chiefs to experiment with a rugby player that ran a decent 40 time, and that's essentially all that'll be.
Okay. All right. So I feel better about not knowing a ton about him right now. So that makes me feel better about it. I think, like, you know, if he signs with Green Bay or if he signs with like Philadelphia or San Francisco, we don't get as excited. But Kansas City, you know, where they got Pacheco, and I've known them to utilize multiple running backs before, my eyebrow does get a little bit raised on this. So we'll see what happens with him going forward. We'll find out more about him once training camp starts. A guy we do know a lot about is Malik Nabers. He ran a 4.35 40 at his pro day, according to Catherine Terrell. 42-inch vertical, Farrell. 129-inch broad jump. These are all fantastic marks for anybody, any human, but for sure as a wide receiver as well. Now, I don't know if he gets drafted ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think he will. There's a non-zero chance of it, but I don't think he will. I think it's a small chance. The Vikings apparently want to move up to draft a quarterback. Now, if they do that, that could push Harrison down. It could push Nabers down as well. The Giants are sitting at 6. I don't know what their plans are with quarterback long-term, but I don't think they include Daniel Jones. And it'd be nice to get a really good weapon there. The Chargers, who actually let go of Mike Williams and traded Keenan Allen, they could go with Malik Nabers as well. Your thoughts on Nabers as far as dynasty? How close is he to Marvin Harrison for you?
Very close. Promising landing spots. When he came out of high school, he was a skinny kid. I think it was Youngville, Louisiana. And he stayed home to play football. And what they didn't necessarily like about him is that he was small and maybe not as fast as he should be. But he's taking care of that now. You know, he's 200-plus pounds, a good six-foot frame, and he's blazing fast. 89 receptions and 14 touchdowns last year at LSU. You cannot argue with that production against some of the finest football players, college football players in the country. So I don't think you can overdraft this player. Our fantasy players will not draft him because of the legacy issues with Harrison Jr., so I don't think anyone will draft him over draft Nabers over Harrison, but there's that bloodline aspect there that people can't overcome. But I really love Nabers. If you live and die with the Tigers down there in Louisiana, maybe we could see him move up certain fantasy boards. But he's going to be a great first round pick for all those dynasty players.
Do you like him? How much better do you like him than Rome Odunze out of Washington?
I like the level of competition that he's had. It doesn't mean I don't like Odunze, but I want SEC players when I can get them. Mm.
That's sort of like what the Packers do. Brian Gutekunst loves his SEC players, specifically Alabama. Drafts a lot of them. It's because of the talent that they're going up against, Farrell. I mean,
they've proven it. You know.
Yes. Let's go on and talk about Josh Reynolds. Now, this is kind of a minor signing here, but there's a couple of moving pieces here in Denver now. Adam Schefter reported that Denver has agreed to a two-year $14 million deal with one Josh Reynolds, formerly of the Detroit Lions. He met with the Ravens last week, but he ends up signing with the Broncos this week. 40 catches, 600 yards, and 5 touchdowns for the Lions last season. He's a possession guy, Farrell, and he's kind of a trusted guy now. He's been in a lot of spots. He succeeded in all of them to a certain degree. It's not like he's knocked anybody's socks off, but to a certain degree, he has fulfilled the role that the team has asked him to do. The question here is, with Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland, is Reynolds now the guy? Is this stunting Marvin Mims' growth? We're very excited about Marvin Mims and what the impact he's going to have in the NFL, but I got to believe that Reynolds is probably going to get in his way here again this year. Your thoughts on how this Reynolds signing not only affects Mims, but maybe Sutton a little bit as well?
I think, you know, we got to determine who the quarterback is here.
Right.
And this is a quarterback dependent position, but I've always been a big Josh Reynolds fan. His best year in LA, I think, was 52 catches. He does a lot with 3 to 5 targets. So he's a supplemental role with the wide receiver. And when he came into the league, he didn't know how to necessarily play the position because he had the exceptional ability to adjust to the ball with this long, lean frame. He did things in college with that could just overcome the defenders, and he never really had to develop to be that fine-tuned wide receiver. He's become that. And I really think his route running has improved. I think he's learned how to use his body, use leverage. Given the opportunity, he could contribute much, much more than he has. So I think he's a late-round flyer for anyone that believes that Denver is going to make a right move at quarterback. And surely they're not going to stick with what they have. But if they do, he's the kind of player to help Jason Stidham.
Let's ask you about the Jeudy angle here. And I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but, you know, Jerry Jeudy, oftentimes we say follow the money, right?
Yeah.
And he's getting $58 million, $41 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Farrell, should we be following the money here? Because Jerry Jeudy has done nothing to me that suggests that he is going to be a big-time player in this Cleveland offense, not only because of what he's been able to do in the pros, but Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, David Njoku, they're all there as well. And Deshaun Watson wasn't exactly fantastic last year as well. Your thoughts on Jeudy in Cleveland?
We're understanding that the Cleveland Browns have a history now of paying for perceived performance that's coming in the future. And, yes, I would have been hard-pressed to justify giving that salary to Jerry Jeudy. And we'll have to see a different kind of player. And what I thought Jeudy lacked a little bit was toughness. And he goes to the division that requires toughness. It seems like not particularly the best match for this player.
I'm color me skeptical. Like I said, Normally I follow the money, but this is one that I'm not going to be targeting Jeudy in any sense of the word. If he falls to me, great. And maybe he will, because I think high stakes players are pretty, they're a pretty shrewd bunch. They're the KFFSC players, FFPC players. They know. I mean, and I think he's going to slip.
Yeah. And you can follow the money, especially when you identify who's spending the money. Yes. And that has a little bit to do with it, too.
That's another good point as well. Maybe we'll get into that with our guest here. Let's bring him in right now, ladies and gentlemen. He is a winner of an astounding 52 high-stakes leagues, dynasty leagues, with the FFPC over the course of his career. And we'll let him talk about his fantasy football career, which has been going on for nearly 5 decades. I hope I'm not dating him because that is an impressive experience on his resume. Please welcome on the Lunatic Fringe himself. It is Dale Brendel. Dale, welcome into the high-stakes fantasy football hour. Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Hey, Fringe.
It's really good to have you. Now, what I do want to bring up is something you brought to my attention prior to the show. You have been playing fantasy football. Again, I'm not trying to make you seem old, but you started the same year I was. You started playing fantasy football the same year I was born, 1979. You were already playing fantasy football with your buddies before I was still inside of my mother, basically. And don't mark the tape on that. That's horrible. It sounds awful. All right. So this is when you were a sophomore in high school, and the league is still going, right?
That's right. It was 1979. I mean, that's, I don't know if that, you know, fantasy football was a brand new concept and not many people even heard of it back then, but I had a math teacher who, he knew I was a huge football fan, and he told me about it, that some of the teachers were doing this league and like that. And I said, that sounds great. So I rounded up a bunch of my buddies there, and we started the league there. And it was only like halfway through the season. We just we're just starting right now.
Right.
But yeah, some of the three of the same guys, we just have a 10 team league now today. That league is still going continuously, 45 years, and three of the founding members are still with it. And in some cases, their kids are in the league and have been doing quite well, winning a few championships here lately. So it's been quite a journey. It's been fun, playing it that long. That original league looks a lot different than the way we play today.
Look how far you've come, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yes. Dale, do you remember? I know you said you started in the middle of the 79 season. Do you remember who the first overall pick in that league was back in 1979?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Dan Fouts. The Chargers, either I had Fouts or he was the first pick or both. I don't know. But Fouts, Air Coryell, that was the team to have in football, fantasy football back then. And I'm pretty sure I had Earl Campbell also. He was the, he was a touchdown machine. And he had Fouts and Campbell. You were sitting pretty good back in those days.
This was the Fouts, the Air Coryell team. Was this Kellen Winslow, Lance Allworth? Were they on that same team as well?
Not Lance Allworth, but Winslow, yes. Winslow, that was a great combination. And Jefferson was I think the big they had a great 1-2 Charlie Joyner and Jefferson. I get him confused now with not Justin Jefferson. John Jefferson. That's right. Yeah. You remember. So yeah, that was a great combination. If you got Fouts Jefferson combo back then, that would take you to the playoffs for sure.
The Fouts Jefferson Winslow stack of 79. That's what everybody was looking for back then. You have another league that you've been playing for 35 years too. Another one that started in 89, right?
That's right. Yeah. And it's the same. That was, after doing, I had been doing the first league for 10 years. It was like an experienced veteran.
The new league.
Right.
So, yeah. We started a new league at my workplace with a bunch of the guys there. And that league has been going on ever since then with, three or four, five of the same founding members as well. Unfortunately, we haven't kept with the times, and back then, it was just touchdowns only, and field goals from the kicker. There was no bonus points or yardage, and that is still the way we play those two home leagues today. I've actually tried to suggest rules changes with those guys, but they always vote me down. They always say no, we like it this way. It's different. So,
I think at this point you have to keep the original rules. Right, you never evolve. You never adapt. You keep these same rules until the end of time for sure. So this is amazing, Dale. You've had these two leagues you've been playing in for 35 and 45 years. You're in other leagues. You've won 52 dynasty leagues in the FFPC. My God, how do you keep a steady job, or don't you keep a steady job? I don't even know what you're doing for a living right now.
Well, I was in my former life, back when I started that second league, I was a sports writer for a newspaper, and sports was how I made my living. I wasn't covering the pros, I covered them a little bit, but it was a local college, it was a community paper and so forth. So I was a kind of a newspaper guy for a lot of years. And recently I started my own, I got out of that, as you guys may have heard. The newspaper industry is going through some challenges these days, right? So I'm started a lawn care industry, or business, and that's what I'm doing now. But it does take a heck of a lot more time than back in those days, especially these dynasty leagues. That and since I've gotten into so many of them, just before we got on here, I've been spending the last couple hours sifting through trade offers and figuring out my cuts here for the upcoming dynasty cut down to 16 players.
Dale, you better get to work because that we're coming up on that. But where do you live, Dale?
I live around the KC, Kansas City area.
Yeah, excellent.
Are you a Chiefs fan, Dale?
Absolutely. I was a Chiefs fan back when they were no good. I mean, since I was a kid, before I started fantasy football, I was a diehard every week. I witnessed lived through the last of the Lynn Dawson era and about a 20-year playoff drought after that, and then through the Marty Schottenheimer years and some decent years during those, but I've enjoyed obviously the last 2 years with the Mahomes era, and but I don't let that interfere with my judgment in the fantasy leagues. Obviously not.
You said a little newspaper, junior college, writing local schools. Did you happen to write for the noted Kansas Jayhawk League? Did you write a little Dodge City and Butler and Hutchinson, Kansas, and all that?
No, I was more on the Missouri side. We had some teams there, Central Missouri State, Northwest Missouri, and things like that. Also covered a lot of high schools. There were really some great prep football.
It's a great part of the world for football.
Schools right there. So, yeah, I really enjoyed covering that. I enjoyed covering that level of sports that, you know, the kids are happy to have the coverage and love to talk to you. And it's a little bit more fun than covering the pros, where you're supposed to be objective. But so I just enjoyed being a fan of those teams. So I would rather cover the high schools and the colleges.
Well, I think you're going to have some fun in the Kansas City area this year when you draft Marquise Brown. Now, I think that this is a wonderful addition for the Chiefs. Fantasy players will not see everyone's boat rising because we're in a situation here, and I think there's plenty of room for pass catchers in Kansas City. Your thoughts on how this affects one young developing receiver that I think is a true superstar, Rashee Rice?
Yeah, I that's a good question. And being here in Kansas City, I'm pretty tuned into that. I was all over Rice. That's one of the reasons I had a really pretty good year last year is I drafted Rice in so many leagues, and I got him in rookie drafts a lot of times in the second round. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at some of my teams today. He's by far I have the most shares of him than any other player in all of my leagues. And so I pay attention to Rice. I love him. But I don't think Marquise Brown signing is going to affect him that much, because obviously there's plenty of more targets to go around in that Kansas City offense. Sure. Targets that went to Tony and Sky Moore and Justin Watson. All those were kind of wasted targets a little bit, and one of the reasons why the Chiefs struggled so much. And I think adding Brown, another strong target, there's room for both of them to be 1,000-yard receivers in that offense. And so I'm not backing off of Rice in any way, and I am getting on some Brown shares if I can. And
yeah, and it makes sense to me, buddy. I'm there with you.
So both of them are buys for you right now, Dale, both those Chiefs receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think that they can support two receivers plus Kelce in that offense.
One of the things I've been kind of racking my brain with, a couple of my dynasty leagues, I have Keenan Allen as my number one or my number two receiver. And I was sad to see him leave Justin Herbert's offense in Los Angeles. Now he lands with Chicago, ostensibly to catch balls from Caleb Williams. But he's going to have to fend off Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Gerald Everett are going to be there as well. How big of a hit do you think Keenan Allen's numbers are going to take going to Chicago now this year, if at all?
No, I think they're going to take a hit. I have a ton of Keenan Allen shares, and I loved him being the wide receiver one in the Chargers offense before. And now going there and competing for shares or for targets with the Bears offense, it's going to be probably Caleb Williams throwing to him. So it could be a good offense. So I'm not abandoning him or trying to get rid of him or anything. I just don't, the last few years, the last year was his best year, but he's been injury prone a lot. And I'm downgraded him a little bit on my value charts. I see him as a wide receiver too, and one that I'm going to keep and kind of see what happens to, but I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, what's going to happen with the target shares there between, I think DJ Moore's got to be the wide receiver one.
It's going to be tough because had Justin Fields still been there, I would say, well, it's clearly going to be Moore because they have the chemistry already built up. Keenan Allen's the new guy. Well, now Caleb Williams is the new guy. So it's new for Moore. It's new for Allen. I honestly don't know how it's going to go. My guess is that Caleb Williams, as a young quarterback, will lock on to Keenan Allen a little bit more than he would DJ Moore. I don't think Keenan Allen's catching 100 passes this year. I do think he catches 80. I do think he threatens 1,000. I think he probably goes over 1,000 yards. I don't know about the ends. I mean, like, I could see him scoring 3 touchdowns this year. I could see him scoring 9. You know what I mean? So that's a little bit hit or miss. But I do still think kind of what you're saying, Dale, he's going to be involved. He's going to be a number 2 receiver. I'm holding him in my dynasty leagues. I don't think anybody's going to knock my socks off with an offer. Farrell, how do you see Keenan Allen in Chicago?
I would like to know, since this trade was announced, you know, let's talk about our great friend, Mr. Armani, and what he has, his stats that he has available for us tonight and all FFPC players, because I think that's where we need to be. There, you don't acquire a player like this if you don't say we're going to do something with him that resembles the play. But Dale's his previous play, but Dale's right. If you look at Allen, Keenan Allen had 15 and 12 and 17 target games, and, you know, he doesn't need that to be productive, but he did. Man, he sure did it for the Chargers. So this is crazy.
I can tell you that DJ Moore in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, according to the Fantasy Mojo, fantasymojo.com at Fantasy Mojo on the X, right now, DJ Moore, this is since free agency started, so this is a little bit before Keenan Allen was traded. DJ Moore, wide receiver 14 at the 303. Keenan Allen is not going until the 503 as wide receiver 27. So that's a lot of disparity between Moore and Allen. Much rather have Allen than Moore.
We'll take Keenan Allen in the 5th round anytime, won't we, Dale?
Absolutely.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. But my question to you guys that has really been kind of troubling me as I'm doing these cutdowns and trying to figure things out is what's going on with the San Diego offense. Especially at the wide receiver position. Now, last year I invested some high picks on Quentin Johnson in some of my leagues, and he obviously turned out to be a bust after the first year. But right now he's sitting, wide receiver 1 on that depth chart, or maybe 2, depending on how, you rank Palmer, but there's been speculation that they the Chargers might pick a receiver with their number 1 pick, or an offensive line. They could go offensive lineman. So I'm at a point where I'm having to decide on Quentin Johnson in a lot of leagues. Do I keep him and look for that breakout coming forward in this next year, or do I cut bait because Harbaugh is going to be running the ball anyway, and just the passing numbers are going to be down?
I think the at least for me, the thing to keep in mind is even if you have a running team, even if you want to run the football, it's still a passing league, and you're still going to be passing the ball a lot. Quentin Johnston was a number 1 pick last year. That's the pedigree for me. You know, it's the old adage. If you're a first-round pick, you have to prove you can't play. If you're a 7th-round pick, you have to prove you can play, right? So, and this is true for me in Dynasty Fantasy Football, Dale. I'm going to give him a longer leash. I have Quentin Johnston on a couple of Dynasty teams. Now, I'm not facing the FFPC roster crunch that you are this weekend, but still, I got to find a way to keep him on my roster just to see what happens. I do believe the Chargers are going to draft a receiver. I don't know if it's going to be round one. I don't know if it's going to be round two. I don't know if it's going to be round three. Brock Bowers is certainly in the conversation for the Chargers as well. So for me, I'm still keeping Quentin Johnston around. Yeah, I didn't like what I saw in 2023, but I'm still willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, at least for another year, at least to be on the end of my bench, knowing his pedigree and knowing his ceiling. I don't know if he ever hits it, but I'm willing to find out. Farrell?
Balky, quiz show question for 10 points. What position did Harbaugh play when he was in the NFL?
He was a quarterback, Farrell.
So, you know, they die hard. He's going to throw the ball a little bit. Yes, you hang on to Johnson. He's going to draft receivers throughout this draft, I think. I like Balky's assessment of Bowers there. But scouts will tell you that this is not a very deep draft with wide receivers. I'll argue that all day long. I can find receivers that I think could match what we've seen through the third, fourth, fifth rounds. You don't have to spend first-round picks on receivers, although people will, to find contributing receivers. And now Harbaugh could prove all of us crazy. He could package Herbert in a trade deal and draft his quarterback that he raised there at Michigan. You know, and so anything could happen. You know, so the Harbaugh show is going to be incredibly interesting to watch. So keep your Charger players. Just, you know, you don't want to miss out on that. And, you know, there's something else interesting going on in the chat room. Dom is holding down the chat room tonight. Happy Easter weekend, Dom. He comes on tonight and says, "Happy Friday, gentlemen." And then he says, "Farrell." And Farrell, you know, so I'm curious as to, you know, me and Dom are great pals. So okay. Keenan Allen, yeah. Let's get a hard question. Jaden Reed. Balky's already waxed poetically about how Watson is utilizing every tool of modern medicine to find out what in the hell's wrong with him. And then even if he doesn't, the Packers have all these other guys, and they have a tight end there that is not Musgrave, that Balky's crazy about. Jaden Reed. Talk to me about Jaden Reed a little bit, my friend.
Well, for me, Reed is the Packer receiver that I target and that I value the most. So I've been trading a lot of shares of Watson. He has the highest ceiling, really. I mean, he's a dynamic receiver who makes incredible explosive plays every once in a while. But just the injury situation, not being able to be on the field, has frustrated me over the last few years. And I saw the clip, you know, the note today about him. He thinks he's figured out the hamstring issues, but that doesn't really change my opinion. I'm still going. I'm going for Reed. I go over Dubs, over Wicks, over Watson, over Musgrave. They're all good. They got so many options there, obviously, that cancels out each other a little bit. But I think Reed has the best floor of all of them. He's like the possession receiver who occasionally breaks out even for a bigger game. And he should be able to build on a really strong first year. So that's the guy that I'm going after on the Packers receiving to.
All these great targets, yet Love doesn't seem to move up in the draft.
I would say normally I'd say yeah, he's still way down there. He has moved up a little bit, probably not to where he needs to go yet.
I think that's been fueled by my aggressive play because I think I'm drafting him ahead of everybody. You know?
I've got him a lot of places.
There too. You go. You see, this Dale and I have love.
In the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament over the course of the last 2 weeks, he's moved ahead of Brock Purdy. He just recently moved ahead of Kyler Murray. I don't know if he surpasses Dak Prescott. I think that could happen, but I think we got to wait till we get closer to the season before that happens. He's going as quarterback 9 in the middle of the 8th round right now. I think okay. That's fair. I can be down for that. So let's move. I have so many questions about Jaden Reed, but I don't want to turn this into a Packers show. Let's keep moving here. Austin Eckler. Let's talk about him, Dale. A guy who goes from the Chargers to Washington. He's going to split the backfield, at least we think, with Brian Robinson. But of the two, Eckler is the more prolific pass catcher. And I'm kind of wondering if he is just sort of like a third down change of pace guy where the Redskins, the Commanders, if they're not relying on him to play you know, 80% of the snaps or whatever, this could actually make him better for fantasy. And he's dropping way down the draft boards. He'll have fewer touches this year, but I'm wondering if his efficiency goes up and this guy is actually a sneaky buy in dynasty for people who are in a championship window, Dale.
Yeah, I agree with you, Eric. I'm in on Eckler. I mean, I have him on a lot of leagues, and I suffered through disappointments last year as he kind of came from an elite running back into last year's performance. But I like the landing spot in Washington. I like the fact that the Commanders want him and that he is very excited to be there, and that Kingsbury has a history of passing to backs. And I think I've seen Eckler going for second round picks and rookie drafts and things, and I think he's worth that. I think he's got a good chance to score basically 10 points a week in PPR just on the receiving stats alone. You know, I see five catches, 50 yards being just a normal week for him, and then every once in a while, he's going to break one out or he's going to score some touchdowns. And plus, you know, I definitely like him over Robinson because Robinson doesn't have the passing potential. But also, I mean, Eckler has been a proven touchdown scorer, even over the years. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him getting some carries as well. So I like Eckler as a RB3 or maybe even an RB2.
Everybody needs a change of scenery, and I'm right there with you. But, you know, Balky isn't getting out of Wisconsin, and in a moment of sheer genius and keeping with the theme of the show, the Green Bay Packers were fortuitous in signing a running back away to come in and pretend. And that is given an opportunity for Zamir White to step in as a player. And I'm curious – you know, the most intriguing guys are a backup running back. And I thought last year with what he did, 100 rushes, 400 yards, I think that Zamir White showed me what a good second year back would do. Now we go into his third year. Can he hold down that Raiders position? Do you think that he's going to get the chance to have a Jacobs-like 250 carry season?
Well, I'm keeping Zamir White obviously in all my leagues, but I'm kind of keeping him as a little bit of a cautious spot. You know, if I've got him as a running back three or as a backup on my team, that's where I'm really happy with him because mm-hmm. I think then he could develop into if they don't bring in any other competition for him. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to put up great numbers, right? I mean, so I just wonder if they're not going to, you know, bring in somebody else. When they signed Madison, it gave me more confidence in White.
Yeah, to think, yeah. Like, yeah.
If that's the best that they're going to do as far as mm-hmm. the competition or the compliment for him, then White's the man. And I'm definitely taking shares of him where I can and feel optimistic that maybe he's going to be a breakout candidate here this year.
And when they re-signed Abdullah, there's a chance that he could return to be, you know, he's been basically invisible with the Raiders, although he played more last year than he did the previous year. It's interesting with this player and just what the team, you look at the new general manager and the new head coach, and they're still figuring each other out. And you know, the Raiders have a full complement of draft picks this year. White was a fourth-round pick. They have four picks in this 2024 draft that preceded where they took White in the fourth round 2 years ago. So from a talent value, I think we're going to see some more guys in the backfield. But I believe in this player. You know, he doesn't have a lot of waggle to him, but he's a strong runner. He might remind me a little bit of Chubb, but I don't know. Yeah. But Balky, do you have any idea what you got to pay to get in business with White now?
Yeah, I mean the price still has not, and it's not ascended to like starting running back level. No, you're still looking at, as far as the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament goes, he's running back 29. He is at the end of the eighth round. This is below Eckler. It's below Jalen Warren, Tyjae Spears. In fact, he's going to pass Tyjae Spears here shortly, but he hasn't yet. And he's actually ahead of the aforementioned Brian Robinson. He's ahead of Trey Benson, and he's neck and neck with the newly signed Miami Dolphin Raheem Mostert at the end of the eighth round. So it's a low price to get in business with Zamir White, and I like that price right now for redraft for sure. Dale, the Atlanta Falcons, as excited as I am about them in 2024, I feel like I have to temper my enthusiasm a little bit because I don't think a lot of other people are talking about the Falcons in as high regard as I am. This is a team that has been wandering around the path of the boulevard of broken dreams of quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. And they just haven't found anybody. Now they get Kirk Cousins. I know he's coming off the torn Achilles, but the reports are good that he's going to be healthy, and the Falcons gave him a lot of money, so they think he's going to be healthy as well. They went out and got Darnell Mooney to go with Kyle Pitts, to go with Drake London and Bijan Robinson. To me, not a lot of people are talking up the Falcons offense right now, which makes me think I should be going out and trying to acquire guys like London, guys like Pitts, guys like, I don't know if I can pull off Robinson, but London and Pitts for sure. What do you think the Kirk Cousins effect is going to be on the Atlanta Falcons? What are you doing with the Falcons on your dynasty teams? And maybe more importantly, what are you doing with those dynasty teams that don't have Falcons? Are you trying to get them on your squads right now?
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you, Eric. I think the Falcons are going to have a big bump, all of them. And I've seen that in the trade values, at least in the discussions I've been with and regarding Pitts in London, especially. Those guys, I've had inquiries trying to get my Pitts or London from me, and I'm not trading them. And I've tried to get them from some teams, and they seem reluctant to trade them too. So I don't know. I think that I think the Falcons are going to be a tier level higher, at least on offense this year. Cousins is a great has been a great passer. He's put up great stats the last few years. There's no reason to think that he's not going to do that again here in Atlanta. And I'm especially excited by just that they have a new offensive coordinator as well. And they're tailoring, going to be tailor the offense around Cousins. And I think he's going to put up big numbers. I don't know if it'll be the same numbers he was doing in Minnesota, but I think it's definitely going to be an increase in numbers for London and Pitts. Especially, and the Falcons got rid of Jonnu Smith. They let him walk, and so Pitts is the only guy there. I think he's probably undervalued in most places, and if you can get a hold of him, you should do it.
How much of the Atlanta Falcons' interest that you have in Dynasty do you blame their lack of fantasy production to the coaching staff? Like 110% to the player. How bad?
I don't know. Maybe not 110, but 90%.
Then my follow up question is this: how trusting are you in your Pittsburgh Steeler dynasty players now?
Well, I'm not in my receiver, but I feel good about Najee Harris and Warren, in that offense, and but I'm not as excited about any of the others. Pickens being the only receiver there, I've got him. I like him in some, if the price is right, but. Yeah, I would take London over any of the Pittsburgh receivers for sure.
Gotcha. Same here.
Farrell, we touched on the Broncos earlier in the program.
Oh yeah, we did. I'm sorry.
But we didn't address the elephant in the room, and I think maybe I don't know. I don't want to put Dale on the spot, but maybe he can help us with this.
Help us, Dale.
Okay, well, The Denver situation causes me a lot of angst right now. Okay, so there are so many leagues where last year I kind of at the end of the year, if I had an open spot in superflexes, I picked up Stidham as a quarterback, thinking like maybe he'll have a couple strong games and be go into the next season as the starter. And I got him for cheap. So I have him in a ton of leagues. And so now we're coming up on cut down time, and it's a very messy situation, as you guys know. And I have Stidham, and in some leagues where I don't have a strong QB3 or even a strong QB2, it's like I want to maybe hold on to him just in case he's going to be the starting quarterback, because I might need an extra starter. But on the other hand, I don't think Sean Payton is committed to Stidham at all. I mean, based on some of his comments and things, I think he wants somebody else in there. So even if Stidham is there, he's just there for a few starts until whoever they draft, is going to be ready to take over. So I'm trying to decide whether he makes my 16 and Dynasty League cut down in a lot of leagues. And in some leagues he is, based on my need, and some not. I think the Broncos are going to go after a quarterback in the draft. And whether it's they could trade up and get McCarthy or something, then that would obviously he would become the main man right then. But if they take somebody in the second round or later in the first round, like Bo Nix or Penix or somebody, and maybe Stidham stays on. But I don't know. I don't feel good about the quarterback situation there either way. I mean, what's your guys' assessment of this?
I'll let Farrell speak for himself. I have no assessment. I don't know. I mean, my best guess is this: Denver trades up and they get McCarthy, or I think Nix. They may or may not have to trade up for. I don't know. I haven't decided yet on that, because as it stands right now, I don't think they have to right now. But the draft is still a month away, and these quarterback prices often go up rather than go down. So I would imagine they grab one of those guys. Stidham for me. If I was in a super flex FFPC dynasty, no way I'm cutting him. I have to find a way to keep him around. If I'm in a single quarterback league in the FFPC, unless I'm in dire need, I'm probably letting him go because I feel like you can acquire players like him, quarterbacks like him, off the waiver wire. Farrell, do you have any insight in this? Because I think we're feeling around in the dark. We're like the journalists in Spotlight, right? We're in the dark room. And we're trying to stumble into something right now.
He watches a lot of film, and he's well-read, too.
Great movie, by the way.
Stidham is the West Coast. Well, Stidham is Garner Minshew in a Broncos uniform. And he can play and start and win a few games, but I don't think that the Broncos are going to enter the 2024 season trying to make a career year and a victory year with this quarterback. So, and it proves that you guys that are in Superflex trying to figure out if you're going to keep Stidham here this weekend, it proves my statement that all of your heads have exploded, but that's okay. If they haven't, they're going to. And God bless you. I love it because it means you're so deep into the game, and it's very, very cool. Very.
Well, I've got Gardner Minshew as one
there step you go.
Above Stidham, right? I mean, because it seems like the Raiders are more committed to him as probably a starter based on the money they gave him compared to Stidham. So I have him in the same boat in a lot of things, but I think there's a better chance that Minshew starts than Stidham.
Yeah. Let's go because we could pick at nits all day with that conversation, but I don't know if it's compelling radio or television, whatever we're doing here, internet streaming. A couple of emails here that I want to get to you from our viewers. Don in Queens, Dale, has this for you. How does the Calvin Ridley signing affect DeAndre Hopkins in Tennessee? Don, we appreciate the email. This is interesting because Tennessee gave Calvin Ridley a boatload, some would say unprecedented amount of guaranteed money. And they already had DeAndre Hopkins. What are you doing with Hopkins in Dynasty Leagues that after you see the Titans throw all this money at Ridley?
Well, I may regret this later or whatever, but I'm definitely I'm unloading Hopkins in a lot of leagues. I think that the money they gave Ridley shows he's going to be the number one receiver, and Hopkins, is at his age and he's had injury issues over the last few years. I wonder, I think he could still put up productive numbers. I'm not getting rid of him, you know, everywhere. But if I'm getting a decent offer on him, I'm unloading Hopkins because I think he's been devalued by that move.
Mm-hmm. One more email that we have here for you tonight, Dale. John in Fresno. Hey, Dale, is Derrick Henry in for a career year in Baltimore this season? This is compelling, too. He moves on from Tennessee to go to Baltimore. Great offensive line, great offense, one of the best teams in the league. He has one of the best quarterbacks in the league in his backfield now. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry's numbers in 2024?
I love him. And I mean, he's not a great dynasty pick because of his age, but he just signed a two-year contract. I think he's going to do just as well or better than Gus Edwards did last year. You know, Edwards, I don't think has the talent of Henry, but he scored a ton of touchdowns. And I think Henry's going to score, get all those opportunities now. And so after being kind of worried about Henry or thinking he was at the end of the line at the end of the Tennessee run, I've moved him back up, into what looks like going to be my starting lineups in a lot of games because, I think he is set up just like, that person said, is he's going to be set up for a big year. So I feel good about him.
He elevates everyone else's game at that team too. It makes me think of guys like Bateman. Bateman now becomes a player that I like. He makes me think that Lamar will do less rushing, but maybe more production when he does rush. It's fascinating from a dynasty standpoint. I share the love for Henry like you do, but you can't acquire him because anyone that has him loves him, and anybody that doesn't want to move him. You can't get him. So I think the best way, unless you're in a startup, is to go out and try to get some of the pieces around him. And I'm curious your thoughts on Bateman, because you seem to understand the Baltimore offense pretty well.
Yeah, I've been kind of down on Bateman last year. I hope that this helps him come back. I think Baltimore has really been hurting in the wide receiver two position. I've had Bateman. I had Bateman in a lot of leagues, and he just disappointed, you know, so many times that I've kind of I'm kind of soured on him, you know, but I think this is his great opportunity. I mean, I'm sure Harbaugh has talked him up a lot as that next year is going to be a big year for him. So if he can step back into that wide receiver two position now that OBJ is gone and take advantage of it, then he could be a sneaky breakout pick for next year.
Yeah.
Farrell, I am fresh out of emails, but we do have one more question for Dale.
Dale, you can find talent and value anywhere. Is there anyone that you're looking to trade away? And is there anyone that you are just so thrilled to have on your team, and that when you sign up for the new Empires drafts, that you'll be targeting in every draft?
Well, yeah, I've kind of been trading away some guys. I think I mentioned earlier Christian Watson as one guy. I tend to trade away guys that have continuous injury issues, you know, year after year. I mean, just some guys are, you know, more prone to injury, it seems like. So I traded away him. I've been getting rid of AJ Dillon. I haven't been excited about him re-signing with the Packers. I think Jacobs is going to dominate there if he stays healthy. And
you mentioned traded away Hopkins too, right? In a lot of your league.
Yeah. Hopkins. I like to trade away some of the older players in Dynasty, but I maybe don't do that as much as some guys. If like guys like Henry or Keenan Allen, I mean, when they're still producing, I tried to ride them all the way into the beach, you know, so to speak, and then I'll figure out what to do with them when they're really done. But if they help me win another championship or some, you know, prize money, then I'll do that. So, I'm excited about some of the rising offenses. I'm looking at You know, if I can get them, I go after receivers on the Texans.
Yeah.
I mean, Collins is probably still undervalued. I mean, he kind of had some big breakout games there at the end of the last season, but he's not talked about on that tier with the other guys. Tank Dell, I love him. I have him in a lot of leagues. His injury probably kept him from having great stats that first year, and for the season long. And I think he showed in his that he's a favorite target of Stroud. So I look for the kind of rising offenses. I'm really big on Bijan and Breece Hall. I mean, there's some of the same guys probably.
Yeah, everybody's
on. You know.
Let me ask you something very, very quick. In Miami, do you see this to be the year that Waddle somewhat eclipses Hill in production? Is there any reason to make you think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think that necessarily. I think that he'll continue to be a strong number two, but I think as long as Hill is there, he's going to dominate. And
I had a trade that came in this weekend, and I want to ask you about this. I kept thinking that the commissioner might just shut this trade down. But I was proposed a trade. I had Waddle on my roster, and my trading partner offered Deebo Samuel and Michael Pittman for Waddle. And I'm wondering why he would want to do that. And then I'm wondering, do you just ever look at your team and say, this is the one guy that I'm missing? I'll give up two excellent players for this one player because he's just the missing piece. I'm trying to understand. We had a very successful dynasty player that I believe plays 89 teams in the FFPC on the show, and he talked about pulling off the road and hitting the button to say accept. And that's what I did because I would have traded Waddle straight up for Pittman. So, you know.
Yeah, no, that seems like an obvious good trade for you. I mean, they all three are kind of similar probably in value, on the tier. But getting two of them for one, obviously, is a good deal. So I think you made a good trade. But I can see it, you know, sometimes, I mean, maybe there's just somebody you really want to root for, you know, on your team. Everybody, you know, on my teams, on one team or another. But before I was in a ton of leagues, like sometimes you just like, I just love this guy and I want to root for him and I want him to be on the team. I'm willing to overpay for him. So maybe that's what that guy was doing. Maybe
his mind was clouded because he was spending so much time trying to figure out what to do with Stidham. You never know. Right. I don't think you're clouded. I'll tell you that.
This will conclude tonight's Jarrett Stidham episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour.
He'll be a Packers backup soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably. Dale Brendel, the 52-time champion of FFPC Dynasty Leagues. Thank you so much for hopping aboard. Can't even imagine what it's like playing in a league, the same league with some of the same original guys for 45 years, and then you got the other one that's going on 35 years. That's awesome. I have a couple of private leagues. I hope they continue in the same way that yours have. But more importantly, I hope your winning continues as well as you've been doing a lot of that over the last several years in the FFPC. Thank you so much for hopping aboard, sharing your insight tonight. I really appreciate it. We had fun. I hope you had fun. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much and enjoy your weekend, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was fun. And Eric and Farrell, great talking with you guys, and I hope to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dale. We'll see you soon, man.
See you, Dale.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is Dale Brendel, ladies and gentlemen, 52-time FFPC Dynasty League champion, hopping aboard tonight on the show, talking Dynasty. Talk some rookies, but we talked a lot about, you know, the thing is, this is such a massive weekend for FFPC Dynasty players trying to get down to their cutdown, and everybody's fielding. I think Matt Schau from Draft Sharks posted on X, he said something like, you know, like, happy, I'll give you under, you know, blank for these picks right now in FFPC leagues, because that's what everybody's doing. They're trying to trade players and getting what they can for draft picks right now. So good luck to everybody who's doing that. Farrell, go ahead.
It made me happy. Dale confirmed I gave up a sixth round pick for Bateman today. That made me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll see what happens there. I do want to get to one email tonight, Farrell, before we sign off. It is from some, what I assume is a good-looking, handsome guy named Eric in Appleton, Wisconsin. So whatever.
Most of those guys are.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. How does Gabe Davis fit into the Jaguars' passing offense now that Calvin Ridley has moved on? Your thoughts on Davis, my friend. He was the second banana to Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. He's moved on there, and now he's the second banana, or is he, in Jacksonville next to Christian Kirk? Obviously, Evan Engram's still there as well.
It's interesting because this player keeps showing up, surprisingly to me, in the 14th and 15th round of the drafts. And I in the four fantasy pros that I have played, I was able to get him once. And I could have got him. I look back on it and I say, you know, I should have targeted this player because he's 14th and 15th round. I could have easily given up something for him sooner than that, because we're looking at a player that has done a lot with less than ideal targets, down the field targets, cold weather targets, targets on third and very, very long. He's a down and distance play because of the receiver he is. Touchdown consistency for this player is really good. Big, strong body. 24 years old, and you brought it up earlier, follow the money. Big contract, I think $39 million in Jacksonville, and they didn't, you know, we got a quarterback down there that's flirting with 600 passes. So all this should be coming together for this player that you and I, when we first started doing the show very early, he was one of the guys that we touted, and he played very well and contributed I think he had a 30-point week. And then we watched him last year go very high in the draft, much higher than I thought he should go. And people were – I don't remember where it was by the time we got to Planet Hollywood, but third and fourth round doesn't seem like a reach for the player, but that's where he was going, I think. So all in all, what's your old buddy that says there's no bad picks in the double-digit rounds? But my goodness, Gabe Davis at $40 million and the way he scores the ball and the fact that his targets are likely to increase playing in warm weather Jacksonville, that's better than a 14th or 15th round pick.
You know, I'm with you on this, actually. I'm looking at the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament. He's gone up a little bit, but he's still in the 13th round right now. I mean, this is Jerry Jeudy, Khalil Shakir, Dontavian Wicks level. He's the number two wide receiver in Jacksonville. So I think there's a lot to like there, especially from a redraft standpoint. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's a 13th round pick. As you pointed out, Joe Delzenero, Baker boy. You can't make a bad pick after the 10th round. And I think Gabe Davis might be one of those good picks after the 10th round this year. I know I'll be targeting him when I play in the KFFSC at KFFSC.com. I encourage everybody to check that out there. And, of course, Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Thank you so much, my friend. So much fun once again tonight. Let's do this again 23 hours from now. Sound good? All right, not 23 hours from now. 6 days and 23 hours from now. That sounds even better, man.
That'll work.
Yeah, all right. Farrell, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend, dude. Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Follow him on the X at @JFarrellElliott and, of course, at KFFSC official. That will conclude tonight's proceedings, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to thank Dale Brendel. I want to thank Farrell Elliott, of course, Rob Bryce, the FFPC, and each and every one of you for watching, streaming, downloading, listening to this later. The High Stakes Fantasy Footballer will be back next Friday night at 10 p.m. We will talk with 18-time FFPC Dynasty Fantasy Football League winner Jim Tracy. He'll be our guest. That's going to be a lot of fun, a lot more Dynasty. We're coming up on the draft, so this is and we'll find out how his cutdown shook down. As well with all of his FFPC leagues. We'll get into a lot of that coming up next week. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network, check it out on any of the FFPC socials as well as the Better Sports Network socials. Dynasty Vipers Network host Matt Donnelly from Fantasy Points and Roto Baller joined me for 2 hours. A lot of fun there. We had a lot of great discussion, and it's worth it just to watch the Jalen McMillan discussion that we had there for sure from Matt Donnelly. So check that out there. Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC. 50% of the annual prizes will go to the league's Empire Pot, and any team that wins the league 2 years in a row will win not only that year's league prizes, but the entire Empire Pot as well. Go to myffpc.com to play in that, as well as the Dynasty Orphan Leagues that you can claim there. Some for as little as $1. We still got some good teams that are a little bit more than a dollar that you can claim there and play fantasy football 365 days a year. The Fantasy Pros Championship is live. Win $1 million when you draft there. We have live drafts and slow drafts going on with that, as well as that, as well as live and slow drafts going on in the Never Too Early FFPC Superflex and Classic Best Ball tournaments that will close April 25th. Make sure you're registering now. $125 entry fee will get you eligible for a $25,000 grand prize in the Classic Best Ball tournament and then the Superflex Never Too Early tournament. $35 to enter, and you can win $10,000 in that as well. Those are all at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on this video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified every time we go live, which will be once again this coming Tuesday. Rotoviz High Stakes Lowdown. I didn't even mention this. Stu Keen, who I believe is a 9-time winner of FFPC Dynasty Leagues. He's one of the 26ers who I know have grown in popularity over the years. Stu Keen will be joining me at 10 p.m. Tuesday night on the Rotoviz High Stakes Lowdown. Jim Tracy next Friday night at 10 p.m. with myself and Farrell Elliott. And if you want to watch the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on this coming Thursday, Dynasty Nerds Garrett Price will be my guest on that. A lot going on the FFPC socials. We never sleep. We do podcasts 365 days a year, but we do them year-round. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully you're enjoying them and learning a lot from them, from all the guests we're bringing on. For Farrell Elliott, for Dale Brendel, I'm Eric Balkman. Thanks so much for watching. We'll talk with you again next week.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, as Dale referenced several times in his interview tonight, if you are playing in the FFPC, you need to make sure that you are cutting down your teams in time to make sure that you have a legal roster going forward in all of your FFPC leagues. Roster cuts are due Sunday night, so you'll have the weekend to chew on it, as Dale Brendel will be chewing on it all weekend with all of his teams. But remember, you have to cut down by midnight Pacific time this Sunday, March 31st. It's Easter Sunday. It's a holiday. Get it out of the way. Get it done on Saturday so you can celebrate Easter and with your family or whatever you're doing. You don't have to worry about roster cutdowns if you get them done on Saturday. Midnight, Sunday night, get them done by then. And we will talk with you next week with some more Dynasty advice and a lot more fun. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll talk with you again Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rotoviz High Stakes Lowdown, 7 p.m. Thursday night on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show and this show, HSFF Hour, Farrell Elliott and myself and Jim Tracy, 10 p.m. Friday night. Thanks for watching, everybody.